8th chapter here for just a few moments. Once again this morning, I want to deal not so much with John the Baptist as we have been doing, looking at John the Baptist's life and taking time to go back and say, you know what? What John the Baptist believed, what he preached, we still believe. Jesus Christ pointed him out and said there's not been a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And so what I'm saying is the Lord pointed him out. The Lord spoke about him. And so we need to look at John the Baptist. Not that John the Baptist is greater than our Lord. Never, never, never. We know that. But he is one that Christ pointed out. And what we need to do is look at what John the Baptist believed and what he preached. So we spent some time doing that. And I want to just kind of not so much talking about him this morning, which we'll do for just a moment or two. But I do want to talk about baptism for a little bit this morning. I want to share something with you. We've let this thing of baptism, we don't say enough about it. The Word of God has much to say about baptism. Now, let me tell you about your preacher. You know it if you've heard him preach. You know that baptism does not save. Now, you know that. You know your scripture. You know it's not baptism that saves. You could go get dunked in water 100 times and go right straight to hell. Now, we know that. It has nothing to do with the salvation. But it does has to do with obedience. And God made much about baptism in his word. He has much to say about it and commands it to be done. So what I'm saying is, I want our hearts to just realize the importance of baptism. Now, what I'm saying, we went through a time in the 70s, and I'm really not I'm not trying to criticize anybody. What I'm saying is, I think we've made a mistake. A lot of times, and I've even heard this, you may have heard it too, I don't know what you've heard, but sometimes some of the ones that puts out soul-winning booklets and things, which are very, very helpful, let me say. They are helpful. But a lot of times they will say to you, well, don't speak to them or don't talk to them about baptism immediately. Come back and talk to them about that later on. Get them to church and then talk to them about baptism. I disagree with that 100%. And the reason I disagree with it, because it's unscriptural. You do not find that in the Bible. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the Bible. I'm interested in how they done it, how the early church done it. And that's what I'm interested in. And I think that's what you ought to be interested in. So I'm just simply saying you'll find in the early church, they always baptized him. Ethiopian eunuch is one of the great examples of it, where it didn't show that he taught about baptism, but he did. Philip did teach Ethiopian eunuch about baptism. How do you know? Because the Ethiopian eunuch asked to be baptized. Philip had evidently explained it to him and told him about baptism. Now, again, I just want to stress this at the beginning as we say this, because, folks, you know baptism doesn't save. I mean, everybody knows that. We know that. If you're independent Baptist, you're a scriptural, you know that baptism doesn't save. But baptism is important as a step of obedience of what we're supposed to do, because we've been commanded to do it, to be baptized. So is it important? Well, yes, it is. Did Jesus get baptized? Yes, he did. Did the disciples and the apostles get baptized? Yes, they did. So now, why would we have a right to sit around and say, well, it's not very important, and I don't think I need to be baptized? And I hear this, folks. It is important. It's the step of obedience when we get saved. Now, I don't know your condition. Most of you, I know you, and I know that you, when you got saved, you got baptized. But I don't know everybody in here, what happened to them after they got saved. But more than likely, I would say that when you got saved, you got baptized. More than likely, I'd say probably everybody in here. Well, you ought to have. And I did too. I got baptized. So I'm saying that. I'm stressing that because I want us to understand this is important. Let's don't just throw this out and say we don't need to talk about it, no need to do anything about it when we get people saved. Yes, it's important. I believe with all my heart it's very, very important. So we know, and I'm going to go back just a moment here to John the Baptist, but John the Baptist was prophesied. His birth was announced. He was even named before he was born. So God put some importance on his life. The Bible says he was spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled. He was sent from God. A man came from God, sent by God, the Bible says, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit endorsed him. So what for? Well, because what he was going to come, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was going to come and point us to this is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which he did. And certainly he came, as the Bible says, he came baptizing. The name in Matthew, the third chapter, he was called, named John the Baptist. Now, again, I think you understand something, that being a Baptist does not get us to heaven. But I want to tell you something. I'm not ashamed of being called a Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist. And my roots, where I believe, go back to John the Baptist. I believe the same thing he believed about Jesus Christ. I believe what he believed about him. I believe he is the Lamb of God, Jesus is, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of all the world. I believe that. You see why? John the Baptist believed it. It's the Word of God. So what I'm saying is, don't be ashamed of being a Baptist. On the other hand, we don't go out just bragging on the fact that we're Baptist. It's not a thing that we have to go out and brag about, but I'm not ashamed of being an independent Baptist. That's what I want to be. Amen. Now you say, Brother Ross, why is this important to put a tag on it? Let me tell you something. Back in the early days of the apostles, there was not ever denomination, different denominations. They did not have them. There was no necessity to go around and put certainly a tag on just the type of church it is. But I want to tell you something. Today it is. I want to know what that church stands for before I go in and sit down. And you've got all kinds of churches today. So when we put a sign up, we're independent fundamental Baptists, I want people to know we're independent fundamental Baptists. I want them to know that. And let me say this. You can get an independent fundamental Baptist that has the name out there that aren't. You certainly can get into that. And you know it. I know it. That's true. But what I'm saying is identification is good. There's nothing wrong for us to identify ourselves as independent fundamental Baptists. Okay? Because that tells an individual. That says to me basically what they should believe. If you're independent fundamental Baptist, then I've got some pretty good understanding of what you believe, what you stand for. Amen? So I believe it's right and profitable to us. And one of the reasons I just kind of wanted to kind of bring that out to you. But anyway, baptism certainly is, and as we've said, it's connected with salvation or conversion, but it certainly is not necessary for it. You're not doing it to get saved. You're not doing it to get converted. You get converted and then you get baptized. Amen. I'm stressing that because I don't want anybody walk out of here saying, "Boy, Brother Ross, he's a Camelite." You know what a Camelite is? He's a Church of Christ or something like that. You know, he's out here believing what Church of Christ. No, see, they believe in you must be baptized to be saved. It becomes a part of their salvation. And certainly we're not saying that whatsoever. We don't believe that. But we do believe that to be obedient Christian, you must follow the Lord in baptism after you get saved. I believe that. I believe that's what God wants. All right. Now, I want to go over here and just start at Acts, the 8th chapter, verse number 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching, and of course, this is when he was down in Samaria, preaching, and he said, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, if you notice here, it says, when they believed. Believing comes before baptism. Amen. Believing comes before baptism. It says, when they believed, and then they were baptized, both men and women. It's right for men to get baptized. It's right for women to get baptized. The Bible says that's what we should do. Amen. Now, in verse 36, he says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In other words, Philip here made it sure for sure and that they understood believing comes before baptism. Amen. And it is out of ignorance. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean that in a wrong word. It's just ignorance of people's not understanding, not knowing. Because I've had many people down through the years would ask me, say, will you baptize my babies? Will you baptize my little kids? And I have to sit down with them and explain. They're not doing that to be. That's all they've heard. That's all they know. But you have to sit down and explain to them, we don't baptize babies. They have to believe before you baptize them. No matter who that is, an individual has to come to a decision to receive Christ as their personal Savior. They have to be a believer. Then they can be baptized. Amen. And that's a right and proper way to do it. And of course, I think as you remember, we studied this and we talked about it, how it is a figure of baptism is a figure of what's already happened to us. Amen. Death, burial, resurrection, newness of life. Amen. It's a figure of what's already happened to us. See, you didn't get saved when they dunked you in water. You got saved when you put your faith, your trust in Christ. And then you want to show forth that you're saved, see. So you stand in the water and are buried and raised again, you see, in baptism. All right? Now, let's go over to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew. And verse number 25. The baptism of John. Now this is verse 25, chapter 21. The baptism of John, which was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if ye shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? And of course, this was Jesus confronting them and asking, was the baptism of John from heaven or of men? Did men think this up, or was it of heaven? And of course, they couldn't answer that. They was afraid to answer it. But what God is showing is this command for baptism come from heaven. And again, I'm saying these things, folks, to stress to you and I the importance of baptism. It isn't something that we can just, I got saved, but I don't want to get baptized, or I don't feel that's necessary. That's a bunch of baloney. This thing is from heaven. God instructed us when we got saved to be baptized, you see. And not only that, let's go over to Luke, the 7th chapter of Luke. Verse 29. It says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, listen, being baptized with the baptism of John. And the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now, if you notice there, you've got two different people. If you want to show forth a loyalty in Jesus Christ, you will be baptized. After your salvation, you will be baptized. Because if you notice here, the Pharisees didn't, and they wouldn't be baptized. You know why? Because they didn't believe upon Christ. They had not been saved. They did not believe on Christ. So they refused to be baptized. So again, it shows forth a loyalty to Christ. When you get in those baptismal waters, you're saying, you know what? You know, I'm God's child now. I'm a Christian. My loyalty is to the Son of God now, you see. So you identify yourself with him. So it is very, very important. The Pharisees didn't get baptized. Do we want to be in their camp? Amen? No. We want to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Whether we have the deepest and fullest understanding of it or not, we just need to do what God said to do. Look over in Acts 2, please. Chapter 2, book of Acts. I'm going to start reading at verse 32. See, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, he was talking to the house of Israel here. He said, let them know something. Let them know that this Jesus, this same Jesus who was crucified, whom you crucified, let him know that he was both Lord and he was Christ. Now, listen to what happens after that. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what he said to them. He said, they was pricked in their heart. They was wondering about this. And he said, what should we do about this? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to repent. In other words, repent and believe who Jesus truly is. That he is the crucified one. He is the Christ. He's the Lord. And then get baptized. Now, folks, you've got to understand something. Back then, when they got baptized, I mean, they cut themselves off from the Jewish hierarchy. They was saying, no, we believe that this is the Messiah. And so it showed forth their loyalty. That was no small thing. You know, when Dr. Gardenhouse, you've read his story, many of you have. Great Jewish man, great Jewish missions, the International Board of Jewish Missions down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's a great man. We had him in our church at the very beginning of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We had him in our church. And what a blessing he was. When he got saved and was baptized, his family buried him. They had a mock funeral for him, buried him. They was people who tried to beat him up because he left the Jewish faith. Now, what I'm saying to you is, you see, it's serious business. You see, nowadays, you know, most folk don't care if you get baptized. You don't get baptized, but we ought to take it serious. We're associating ourselves with Jesus Christ, and to not do so is to show disloyalty to him. See what I'm saying? You know, saying, well, we don't need to be baptized, or I don't want to get baptized. Well, that's just ridiculous. That's silly. Because you're showing your loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ when you get baptized. Amen? That's serious business. You're saying, I'm on his side. I'm with him. He saved me. And so these folk here, now I want to tell you something, folks. That was not easy. That was difficult for them to do, to say, I'm going to follow God. I said, repent and be baptized. When I do that, my family's going to cut me off. These Jewish people are going to hate me because I'm following the Messiah. I mean, do you have a little bit of understanding about that then? Does that help you a little bit understand why he said that? He said, you repent and get baptized. Name of the Lord. See, so that's important. You know, back where the Bible teaches us, and kind of another thought on this, you know, where the Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of of ourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. You remember that? And, you know, we, again, take that. The preachers use it. I use that. But we don't take that as it was really stated. Back then, they to assembly themselves together meant possibly their life. I mean, you go and assemble in the name of Jesus, you was in trouble. And we just take that, well, assemble yourself together. Well, I will if I want to, I will if I don't. I don't know. If I feel good, I'll go. If I don't feel good, I won't. You know, that's not the way that's in its context. He said, don't forsake it no matter what the cost. Don't forsake gathering yourself together no matter what the cost is. Don't do it. And those people, like I said, it cost them something to assemble together. You go and you read books like Harlan Popoff, you know, his book, and some of these fellows that spent time over in Russia, and, you know, in those terrible communistic years. I mean, they gave their life out just to assemble together and hear the Word of God. See, and here we just can take it and leave it and do with it what we want, and people can just stay home and do whatever they want. That's wrong. I don't care what anybody says, wrong. You see, we ought to take it serious. This is serious business. This is not a game we're playing. Amen? And let me say for sure, baptism is not a game. It's serious business when you get baptized and when a person gets saved and then follows the Lord in baptism, you see. And of course, we've already covered this, and I won't go back there and spend time, but the Great Commission, when God gave us the Great Commission, the Lord gave us the Great Commission. That's part of it. Baptism is part of it. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature, get them baptized, and then teach them. I mean, that's one of the three things that the commission gives us. Amen? So is baptism important? Oh, I'd say it is. Sure it is. See, we're supposed to be baptized, you see. And again, well, let's turn over to Matthew, third chapter, and I just want to show you something here kind of quickly. Third chapter of Matthew. Well, he was there once, but verse 16 and 17, and here's what it says. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, them are two wonderful verses of Scripture. First of all, just let me state, Jesus got baptized. And he commanded us to get baptized. If he said it, if he did it, and told us to, why would we ever have any reason not to be? See, we all do it now. But notice there, this is a picture at his baptism. You notice the picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was present at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Jesus was, of course, God the Son. And the Bible says, and the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. There's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. Then there's a voice came from heaven. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So you see here pictured, you see the Trinity pictured here at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And people have the audacity to say that baptism is important. It's important to God. It's very, very important to God. I know it's not salvation, but it's important to God. Amen. So the Trinity showed up at that baptism. Amen. So again, I think it was very, very, very important, you see. Now, another thing is, and I can't remember whether we spent any time on this or not, but if you go through your Bible, you read through your Bible, this is one of the reasons why I have trouble with people not wanting to put some emphasis on baptism, is you go through the Bible and read as you find people getting saved, it was always immediately after they got saved, they got baptized. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he was blinded, but it was 3 days later the Apostle Paul got baptized, but it was soon after their conversion. You remember some of them. We'll probably cover some of them in a minute, but you remember Lydia that got saved on the creek bank there? Folks, you read that, she got baptized. If you go through your scriptures and find people getting saved, they got baptized right after they got saved. So again, I'm just trying to state to you, why do we put so late, you know, important, least importance on it, and not as salvation, thank God, but as a step of obedience, because God said to get baptized. God said to do that, and that's what we ought to do. I know, folks. After I got saved, and I won't tell you the whole story, but after I got saved, I wasn't baptized immediately because the preacher thought that, and I had been baptized earlier in my life. Maybe I was saved then, and I didn't need baptism. But God wouldn't let me in alone. I mean, there was not that sweet peace of God in my heart about not getting baptized. I needed to get baptized. My wife and I both went through the same experience. And I've told you before, it won't make a long deal, but we went down to the preacher's house. He took us out the creek and baptized us. I said, Pastor Evans, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I need to get baptized. I've been saved now. I need to get baptized. He said, let's go do it. We went on down. He's a farmer. He had a big old creek running through his farm. And we went down there and he baptized both of us. And there was just a peace came over me. It wasn't the peace of salvation. I already had that. Oh, I had that. But it was a peace that now I'd obeyed God. Amen. So let me just say this, and I don't know your condition, so I can honestly say this. I think you probably are, but folks, if you're not baptized, you're disobedient. And you'll never have a sweet peace that you really need until you follow the Lord in baptism after your salvation, you see. You need that, and every person needs that, you see. So just hopefully, like I said, that'll kind of help a little bit. We know that, and we took some time, I think, last week and talked about the apostles. We believe all the apostles was baptized by John the Baptist. But even where it talked about the successor, as they met for the successor to Judas, If you remember, one of the statements was, starting from the baptism of John until the resurrection. They had to see this. They had to been baptized of John. They had to see the resurrection to be even be counted as one that could succeed Judas. And that's a long story. I believe Paul was the 12th apostle, the one that replaced Judas. I believe that, but regardless what. But anyway, but that was one of the requirements, was they had to be baptized from the baptism of John to the resurrection. They had to be witness to the resurrection of the Lord, you see. Okay? All right. And over in Acts, again, I don't think we'll turn over there, but we just talked about that, how that right after people get saved, they get baptized. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, he baptized him. Amen. He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul, as I mentioned earlier, when Paul got saved, one of the first things he done was get baptized. I think it was 3 days later, as I said earlier, after the scales fell from off his eyes, and Ananias came. And anyway, he was baptized. You see this over and over. Lydia, we talked about. Philippian jailer, as soon as he got saved, and his family, what did he do? Well, they got baptized. Amen. So they got baptized. So we just, you know, you go through your scriptures over and over and over, and you'll always find where folk got saved, they got baptized. Amen. And they didn't do it to get saved. They did it in obedience, you see, unto the Lord. And then also, in fact, I might take you over to Acts, the 18th chapter, just kind of real quick there. We don't have a whole lot of time, but Acts, the 18th chapter, and let me see here. It says in verse number 8, it says, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You will just absolutely, I just kind of wanted to show you that because the others are more familiar as you talk about the Ethiopian eunuch, you talk about the Lydian, you talk about the jailer and all, they're pretty familiar. But here again is a picture of people believing and getting baptized. Amen. So it's very, very important. Now in chapter 19, since we're right there, I want to read you a little story here. Came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This here was a faulty baptism that happened here. They did not understand. They only understood what they had been taught. And they just got baptized because people were getting baptized in John the Baptist baptism. They did not understand it. And as soon as they found out they had not understand, they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. They didn't know for sure what they truthfully, if you want to get right down to it, what they believed. But as soon as they got that all straightened out, they got baptized right for the right purpose, right reason. And again, I say to you, that's why we should have at least the, even if it's a child, the sense of understanding why we get baptized. It may be a simple understanding. As for a child, do not understand maybe doctrine like you and I can sit down and talk about it and have a deeper understanding of a child. But they ought to have some understanding of why they are getting baptized. It's important, you see. And so we need to stress that. All right. And then now, the Apostle Paul, and let's go over there. Remember what he said here in, keep your place there in Acts. Let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, first chapter of 1 Corinthians. First chapter of 1 Corinthians. 14, verse number 14. Now, he was dealing with the Corinthians here. If you have an understanding of that, these were many of them were very carnal in their mind, not having a lot of understanding about spiritual things. He couldn't even teach them what he wanted to teach them. There was divisions among them, and they did not have a deep understanding. It says in verse number 14, He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, here he's dealing with a whole different subject. He's not belittling baptism. Look over in chapter Acts, the 18th chapter, and let me read verse 5. And when Silas, are we at Acts 18? And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemy, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogues, believed on the Lord, and with all his house and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. That's a verse we read a while ago. But I read on up and noticed that Silas and Timothy were with Paul. He had said over there before, said, I didn't baptize a whole lot of you, but he had other disciples that did baptize. They did baptize. And again, even the Lord, if you find in the scripture, even the Lord, I was just trying to think in my mind where that's at, but I think maybe it's in John. Let me look real quick and see if that was where it is. I'm not sure. Yes, it is. John, the 3rd chapter of John. Just look there real quickly and we'll close. We don't have much time. But look, and again, we're just stressing the importance of baptism. In the 3rd chapter of John, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now, look at verse 2 of chapter 4. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. You see, even Jesus had his believers baptized. Now, the disciples done the baptizing. He didn't do the baptizing, but Jesus was teaching and baptizing. So again, I guess what I wanted to stress basically in this lesson this morning, this message this morning, is baptism is not something you just scoot over to the side and don't think it's important. It's important to the Lord that we get baptized. You're associating yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I guess I just kind of wanted to stress it, knowing that it is not salvation. You don't get saved by baptism, but boy, it is important, and I've only give you a portion of it. Boy, as you read through the New Testament, listen to what it says. Listen to what God says about the importance of baptism, you see. And hopefully that's been a somewhat of a help to you. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness and kindness to us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for our precious Savior, our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins. Thank you so much. And we ask your blessings now upon the hour that's coming up, Father, through the preaching and the children's churches and all that'll be going on. I trust, Lord, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.